Welcome to the Ralph Moore Podcast. Gain a leadership advantage as Ralph pulls wisdom from his bag of over 50 years' experience in planting and leading multiplying churches. Our goal is to help you live as a leader you'd want to follow. You'll learn about making disciples and planting churches, but beyond that, you'll gain practical wisdom about subjects like how to manage your team, handling difficult people, pulling a congregation off a growth plateau, and even money management.
Hi, welcome to the podcast. Today, I get to interview a new friend, somebody I deeply respect in very short time, John Termini. He is the pastor of a church called The House Established in Waimanala, Hawaii, but recently they started their third Sunday morning service on Sunday night in Kiwala Basin. It's very, very exciting. They have a vision to plant churches throughout the state. And I'm just honored to be friends with this guy. It's a very, very exciting thing for me. So, John, welcome to the podcast.
It's an honor to be on. Thank you, Pastor Ralph, and for all the seeds that you and Ruby have sown over the last several decades. And I love this. I love your family. I love what God's doing in Hawaii, and so honored to be a part of the journey. And it's one of the privileges has been getting to know folks like yourself and others that have planted and sown for decades. And it's beautiful to continue to see the fruit and know that God is continuing to build new leaders, and he's going to continue to grow what he's doing already in Hawaii through your ministry and our ministry. And it's very special. Thank you. It's an honor.
You know, one of the things that is exciting to me, I want to ask you about your how you got into faith, and you know, your experience that brought you to a point of being ministry, and then how you got to Hawaii. But you know, everything that is kind of standard logic in Hawaii, and we experience this too, it works against you. You come from the mainland. Worse, you come from New York City. You go to Waimanalo, which is extremely a lot of local people, and there's a tendency to resent white people in general and people from the mainland who think they know everything. There's that whole thing that you're up against. But that was what we were told when we went to Kaneohe. You know, you should stay in Honolulu. And here you are. You're what, 3 years into this thing, and it's growing like gangbusters. And whenever I go there, there's a ton of local people. I'm just thrilled to have you on the podcast. But I'm just thrilled to be in your life. It's very exciting to me. But I do want you to start a little bit about kind of your background, because I always like to get the backstory. You and Katie both, and you know, your walk with Jesus, and then your walk into ministry, and then how you ended up in Hawaii.
Sure. So by way of background, you know, I grew up in church. My dad's a pastor, still is a pastor today. He's in his mid-70s and still serving Jesus. And this past Sunday, I'm actually here in New York visiting family right now. In August, we'll have been in Hawaii for 4 years, which is just wild to think. And but my dad and mom are pastors in Long Island, and they have a beautiful congregation. It's a smaller congregation, but they love Jesus. And I think one of the things that when we came to Hawaii, I grew up in Long Island, New York. So I laughed because I feel like God's brought me from Long Island to another island, which was Manhattan Island, which is many people don't realize it, but it's also an island. And then it's the most densely populated one on the face of the planet, but it's still an island. And then brought us to a remote place, another island. And so my family and I, we grew up actually in a small surfing, fishing community of about 5,000 people in Long Island, New York. So in some ways, God just knows what he's doing. And, you know, although I went to New York City and my background was living in this smaller community, and especially in the summers, being around all these local people and the tensions between locals and outsiders and insiders and all of that. So I think there is a lot of odd familiarity with where we are. And it only is by the grace of God. So by way of background, I went to school at a Christian school. We had like 600 kids in my small Christian school, you know, preschool to 12th grade. You know, instead of learning A was for apple, I learned all have fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Instead of learning B was for bell, I learned believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And C instead of for cat, it was children obey your parents, for this is right. So my childhood was a really a spiritual boot camp. And from a young age, I felt the call of God. I felt like I wanted to do what my dad did. I wanted to be a pastor. I wanted to walk in his footsteps. But there was another side of me that was very business minded. And I really struggled because in the church, sometimes I saw the Holy Spirit moving, but I saw stains on the carpet and people would be like, oh, it's okay. God's here. And I would say, yes, but we should dress the stain on the carpet because it's not warm and inviting. And I always struggled. And so I had this sort of wrestle in my heart, being a business person, and in my head and in my heart, wanting to pastor people. And so I went to New York City after college. I played basketball in college, ended up getting a pretty amazing job at a commercial real estate firm. And I became kind of a suit and tie in New York City. So I was helping my dad with the youth on the weekends and kind of living this other life in the city during the week. And this went on for about 7 or 8 years where I was on what I would call maybe a journey of faith, where I would never say I left the faith, but I definitely was not walking the way I was called to. And I ended up being a top grossing associate in my commercial real estate firm, 200 Park Avenue, and getting worse a watch and suit every day, and kind of was faking until I made it. And then a church opened up in New York called Hillsong Church, Hillsong, New York City. And that was, that opened up, wow, it's like 14 years ago now, 15 years ago. And I ended up starting to help them with sort of some of the business development and helping find venues in the city because I had a real estate background. And I really, at that point, met for the first time leaders, church leaders that not only had pastors' hearts, but had business minds. And that for me was, I always felt really out of place with pastors because I never really understood why we allowed certain things and didn't care about others. Hillsong was the first place that I came to. I was like, okay, I could be a pastor. I can love people, but I also can do things with a level of excellence and do it well. And so that was really one of the journey for me of being a really amazing moment where I experienced what I would say is a move of God in New York City. We saw tens of thousands of people give their lives to Jesus. I mean, on any weekend, we'd see over 10,000 people coming to church, and it was like revival in the city. I mean, we were baptizing people at the top of hotel bars and restaurants in the middle of Manhattan, and just God did some amazing things. And as the story goes, my brother Joe married a local girl in Hawaii, and we went and visited her. I'll make a big story really fast. And we went and met his family there, my brother's wife's family. They're like surfing family in Hawaii. You know, you might the Moniz family. And so we went and visited. And when we visited,
did you say the Moniz family?
Yes.
Tony and Tammy. They found the Lord in Hope Chapel, and my wife discipled them as helpers in her fifth and sixth grade girls' Sunday school class.
There you go.
And we did what you guys call the room, what we called mini church, with them for years. They're great people. This is cool.
And they love you guys. They honor you and speak so highly of you. So it's just been, you know, only God could have made this up, but we went and visited during COVID, and at the time I was actually being asked to step in and lead the church in New York, Hillsong, New York City, because our pastor had gone through a moral failing, and church was kind of in a crisis coming out of COVID. And so I came on a trip in December 2020, going, I'm going to go back to New York after this trip, and my job's to take the helm and lead the church who navigated through this really difficult time. And most at that time, my name was in the hat. And while I was in Hawaii, I actually got asked, could you please run the church when you get back? You're going to step into the role, not in interim, but full time. And you'll be the person to lead the church. And as I was in Hawaii, my wife is having visions of us raising our girls. We at the time, the girls were 3 and 7. And my wife had visions of us. My wife's a doctor, forensic neuropsychologist, a Jewish girl from New York City, was not planning on leaving Manhattan ever in her life. I couldn't get her to move to Long Island, let alone Oahu. And she just she's just like, I really feel like we're supposed to raise the family here. I kind of thought she was crazy, if I'm being honest. I was like, maybe she's running because of what's going on in New York. I'm like, let's go back to New York and pray. I was actually sitting in this seat right here. This is my wife's family house out in Long Island. I was sitting here and I said to her, hey, let's go to dinner. And we went to dinner. And I said, do you still feel that way? And she said, I really do. And I said, I've been praying a lot and I feel the peace of God. All the provision and the positions in New York, but the peace is in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
And it was this crazy moment where I was like, what are we doing? I'm even getting emotional still talking about it. What are we doing? And all I can say is that in New York, it felt like I was putting on Saul's armor and it didn't fit me.
Mm-hmm.
And God was going, hey, I've got something new for you to do, a new assignment. And I never thought I was leaving. And so a man like yourself, you know, my old senior pastor was this legend in our day, and, you know, Brian Houston. And I was sitting again in this room, actually. And he asked me to get on the phone, and he and I had a really difficult chat where I said to him, I said, I love you, sir. And I honor you. You're like my Paul, the apostle. At that point, I didn't know anyone who had planted more churches globally and had an impact the way he had. And he had taught me so much. And I said to him, I said, I just feel that I'm called to move to Hawaii and plant a church, and it's not a Hillsong church. And so, like you said, we left everything that was familiar and left everything that was sort of, there was a formula, like a way to do it. And we really ventured into the unknown and did not follow the traditional playbook. In fact, and we also didn't have any, ideas of grandeur. Like, I think we were just going to plant and see what God had in store. I was willing to go back to work in commercial real estate. In fact, I did. I started a consultancy, and I had a few friends that were really willing to take care of us while we were there, and they did. And then we started Friday night dinners at our house in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, had Shabbat dinners on Friday night, and they grew from like five or six people. We didn't know anybody except for my wife's family, and they were already plugged in the church, so we kind of just started and it just kept growing. And 3 years later, we've seen over 2,000 people give their lives to Jesus. And I mean, I think we're up to like almost 2,700 people now. It'll be 3,000, well over 3,000 by the end of the year. And it's a miracle story what God's doing in a little town in Waimanalo, God's country.
I think it's wonderful. It would have been so natural for you to go to Honolulu. I mean, it's urban. It's everything. I mean, we always make jokes about that Waikiki is where Manhattan Island meets the beach. How did that all play out? Because that would have been the thing for, you know, someone to do, but it wasn't the thing that God had for you.
Yeah, it's a great question. It's ironic because I thought the biggest step of faith that God was asking was, okay, move to Hawaii.
Yeah.
But if I'm being honest, and Pastor Ralph, you know this as a church planter, that's only the first part is the move. And then God's like, hey, not only do I want you to move and not do what's convenient, but then once you get there, you're also not going to start planning and writing the script. I'm still going to keep writing and planning it. And so in the mornings, I go on these prayer walks, and I've been doing this for a very long time. I get up early and I walk and pray. It's a habit of mine. I deeply love it. It's my North Star. It's what brings me home. And I'd get up early in the morning, and we moved to Hawaii, Kai, because that's where my wife's brother's family was from. And there was no strategy there. It was just, this is just, we had rented a house there. It felt familiar. So we went back there, and it's been great. But when I would wake up early in the morning, we started thinking about, okay, where would we put the church? So we just did it in our house, and we just started our Friday nights. But then as it began to grow, and this beautiful little Asian couple, I remember we were on a cul-de-sac that lived next to us. They said to us, I woke up one Saturday morning, and she came out of her house. She was so sweet. And she looked at me and she says, John, are you going to keep having these meetings at your house on Friday night? She goes, because it's really getting loud and the cars are, there's a lot of cars. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I didn't think it would grow this fast. But at this point, there's like 60 people coming to our house. So we're like, we got to figure out what to do. So I make a right and I'd head into town. I'd head into Honolulu.
Sure.
And everyone's like, the guy from New York is going to go to Honolulu and that's where he's going to plant it. So I just was like, all right, let's go there. And then I got there. There was just no peace, not really an open door. And then my brother, he had an art gallery store studio, which is so random in Waimanalo. And he used to drive me through the backwoods and he would go, can you imagine we did something back here? And I'm like, this is crazy. But the more we were back there, the more peace we felt. And I remember I was on a prayer walk and then I went into kind of a, it turned into a prayer drive. I got in my car and I headed towards Waimanalo and I was listening to Eugene Peterson, the book called Letters to a Young Pastor. And the tears were just coming down my face as I'm listening to him describe the pastorate and location and where God calls you. And sometimes it doesn't make sense, but it's where God has his people. And when I got to Waimanalo, there was this, there were these, there's a red, the building called the Red Shopping Center where Jack in the Box is. And she, I'm sure you know it, right?
And that
this building. And there's like all of these local kids and they're outside and they're like part of some boxing community or something. And they run these boxes up and down the steps. And I'm sitting in front of the Red Shopping Center. I see these kids run the boxes up and down the steps. And I see an auntie like helping them. And I don't know anybody. I don't even know that I shouldn't be there at this point. I know zero. I get out of the car and I just start helping them carry the boxes up and down the steps. And this big guy from Waimanalo comes up to me and he goes, what you doing? And I'm like, oh, I'm just helping them with the boxes. And it turns out his name was Cowie, and he was like local Waimanalo, like the mayor there. He's like, he looks like The Rock. He's like 6'6", big, much bigger than me. And that's not, I don't really see a lot of people much bigger than me in Hawaii. And this guy's just a tower. And he says, I got a non-for-profit, a boxing non-for-profit here, and I'm helping these local kids. He starts telling me a story. And I go home to Katie and I said, we got to help these guys. So Katie and I wrote a check personally, brought it to his house, brought some Bibles over. He had the boxing kids over. Mm-hmm. And that really started the journey of just loving those kids and being with those kids in that community. I don't know if I've ever shared that story before, but that was just something special. It turned out, though, the red building on the second floor, we were helping an auntie move out of there, and these boxing kids were helping do it that day. And on the second floor, and most of the people, I talk to them now, the local people didn't even know there was anything up there.
Uh-huh.
In an agricultural and archaeologist that had been up there for 25 years, that when there was like Hawaiian digs, ones that would do all the processing and all the surveying. And there were documents, what we were carrying down with all these documents of old bones and everything else on the second floor. And they had been up there for 25 years and they were for the first time ever moving out. And so no one even knew that space was available. And so when we went up there, the space was all being vacated. And my background is real estate. So to Katie, I said, what if we just started up here? It was coming out of COVID. I didn't want to interrupt any of the other churches trying to get back to their schools.
Yeah.
So Katie and I literally, we wrote a check ourselves. We signed a lease without a church or a budget or a building, you know, without anything, no band. And a few of the people that are on our team now are like, this Howley guy tells us to go to this Red Shopping Center. We're like, do you know where you are? And I'm like, not really. And I think part of that was the grace of God. And we just started swinging hammers and we built out space, start open to Keiki space out. There was a non-for-profit that had moved up there called Napono. And we started serving them and we just started building community tentacles. And on February 6, 2021, we launched and there was like 250 people. We overwhelmed the building the first day.
Uh-huh.
And it just hasn't stopped since then.
No. So then as you grew, you eventually had to move to Waimanalo Elementary, which is kind of a part of the town. Yeah.
Yeah. So we, you know, we, we had one service, and you know, we kind of faded down, and you know, when you launch, it's big, and then it kind of went down a little bit over the weeks, and then started to grow again. And so they're like, all right, let's add a second service. So we added a second service, and then that grew. And we're like, okay, let's add a third service. So then we added a third service, and I'm like, we can't. There's like, it's only 145 seats, and people are sitting outside. I'm like, we can't keep doing this here. It's not. This doesn't feel like it's not good for the volunteers, the team. You know, we're coming out of COVID. Remember, it's like people are really skeptical of everything, right? They're still kind of, yeah, rightfully so, masked up and figuring things out. And so we had offices behind us. Like, all right, let's knock down the wall. So during a service, I literally took a sledgehammer, I think it's a piece, and I said, we're going to keep expanding. We're going to go forward. And so, and I threw the sledge through the wall in the middle of the 10:30 service. And we knocked that down. And so then we were able to go back down to one service. Then we went to two services. We could fill three services. Now we're having big parking issues.
Uh-huh.
And so that led to us making a phone call down the block. A local auntie said, hey, we could let you park here, but there was another church that used to meet here before COVID. And I said, do they still meet there? She said, no, but if they come back, you're going to have to move out. And I said, hey, ma'am, how much is it to rent that school building? And at the time, Jim LaFoon, who's a prophet in the nation to a lot of world leaders, asked to get on a call with Katie and I. And he said to us, he said, son, God's going to grow the church in Hawaii. He said, get ready. And he said, God's about to open up an amazing real estate deal for your church so that you'll have plenty of parking and plenty of space. And he goes, it will not be your final destination, but God will put you there for a time. And he'll allow you to be able to grow wildly. And this is like a week and a half earlier. He says this to us on a call, asks to speak to us. We get to move into that school, literally cents on the dollar, start saving money. We put $150,000 into the Waimea Elementary Tevita School because they had no facilities for their kids during the week. And it was like supposed to be their creative arts center. So we said, hey, we're going to dedicate this money to the team. I raised money, capital from the continental U.S. We put it into the school and we opened up there. And there over Easter, we had over 2,000 people gathered. And which is so wild because it was literally at a quarter of the price of what we were paying in the other the block. So it's just been this like God story where he's just opened up the doors. And the prophet said to us, he said that the church is going to grow in waves. He says, and waves are going to come, waves are going to come. And he goes, but God won't send sets when you're not ready. And I was so grateful for that because even now, like, you know, thank God for your son and others. Like, the church is just growing and we really need it. And you know, as you know, local people in the community, you know, people maybe listening to this, like, what we need is people that follow the wind right now.
Yeah.
And people that are eager to see God continue to move. And I'm going to say this through the next generation, because right now we're gathering all these young people and it's wonderful. How many know like that we need support and team and depth and health. And so I'm grateful for, you know, from Uncle Kavika and all these local Waimanalo legends that God's gathering, Kathy Thurston. There's a crew that God's assembling right now that's really special. And we're not the only church. There's amazing churches, yeah. Inspire Church, New Hope, and Hope Chapel. There's churches doing things all over the island. God bless them. But right now, there just seems to be a move of God among these young people. And we're just doing everything we can to steward.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, be sure to subscribe and check his blog at ralphmoore.net.